Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'd like to read a verse before we give a couple of thoughts and have a word of prayer. John chapter 7, verses 45 and 46. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have ye not brought him," that being Jesus? And the officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." And shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the love of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we don't understand this love, but someday we will see it and we'll truly understand what love really is. Now, Lord, bless these thoughts for your honor and for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. I came across these six thoughts that we're going to give this evening in a book that once belonged to my dad. And they gave, this is the title, The Voice of Jesus Christ. Number one, it is a source of joy to his friends. Now, we have all known people who simply like to hear themselves talk. And sometimes they can go on and you're waiting for them to take a breath so that you can insert something. But they just talk and talk and talk. And we've all known people like that. But to listen to Jesus must have been a blessing and a half. And in your mind's eye, see John the Baptist as he defends the fact that Jesus now is the one that many of his former followers are now following. And I read to you from John chapter 3, verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He, that being Jesus, must increase, but I, John the Baptist, must decrease." As we know, the church is the bride, and Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. And when his voice is heard, it brings joy. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. And these great words that the Lord is speaking to those that were with him at that time, but may I say also to all of us, even today. And it says in Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come unto me. The voice of Christ, point two, is recognized by his followers. Recognized by his followers. The book of John, chapter 10, we were there this morning, but we'll be looking at some different thoughts right now. It is recognized by his followers. You know, when one says something, you can tell an awful lot by the tone of their voice. How it is said. Is it said in love? Is it said in haste? Is it said in anger? Is it said in worry? When Jesus speaks, we are to follow. And beginning at John chapter 10, verse 1, we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. We live in a world that has a lot of noise. It is constant, and it's coming from many different directions. But we need to be still and listen for the Lord to direct. So why does one follow? What are some reasons that someone will follow a leader? Well, I have four that I'd like to give to you real quick. What they think they will get out of the leader. What they think they'll get. And so that's why some will follow a leader. It's why some politicians are constantly throwing money at them, hoping that they'll get followers. And so that's why some follow, is for the money. Because they feel they must. You know, some people go to church because they're superstitious. They think that if they don't go to church, that God is going to punish them or curse them. Well, that's not why we should go to church. We should go to church to worship our Lord. We come this evening to honor our Lord, to worship him. But some feel they must do it. Others feel they are ordered to do it. How many times I've heard someone say, well, I was made to go to church as a kid, and I don't want to do it anymore. Well, the fact of the matter is we should willingly desire to worship our Lord. And then there are those who do it willingly. They want to follow. And we should desire to follow the Lord, to follow his teaching. We live in a very liberal society that is constantly thwarting the teachings of the Word of God. They don't want to be told that there is a right way to live. Too many people will say, okay, I'll do this according to the Word of God, but this bothers me, and so I won't do it. Well, the fact is we need to follow after our Lord's teaching. The voice of Jesus Christ, number three, is a test of men's lives. John chapter 18, John 18, we find here the scripture where Jesus is brought before Pilate. It won't be long before he will be beaten. He'll be put upon a cross and he will die. And then he'll be buried. But here we find that he is brought before Pilate. Now, Pilate thinks he's something, but any politician should realize that they're only in position to serve the people, and it is the Lord who has put politicians in that position to be usable. But it says here in verse 28, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But the thought here that we are wanting, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. We hear the voice. Now, it is not an audible voice, but we hear it through the word of God, through the way he moves the Spirit through us. And it is a time of the testing of people. And so, as the Lord is speaking to you, are you listening? I was pondering some thoughts. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned. The book of Romans says, in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is a payment for sin. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6, 23. Someone will ask, why is there so much death in our world today? Why is there so much sickness? Why is there so much illness? Why is there Corona 19? Well, the fact is of sin. And because of sin in the world, there is death and there is sickness. There is a payment for sin. Three, the finality of death is hell. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, it says in Romans chapter 20 and verse 14. So there is a result to our sinful condition. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, paid our debt. Now, I realize that we want to think that we can earn our way to heaven. That if we are good enough, when we get to the pearly gates that people talk about, that they will have to let us in. But if you don't come with the shed blood of Christ upon you, there will be no entrance into heaven. There is only one way, and it is through Jesus Christ. Our good works is to glorify his name. It is not to get us into heaven. You can be saved even today. We find in the book of Romans chapter 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, the Lord has spoken to us through his word. He has made it clear what we need to do. But it's amazing how many people aren't listening. One has said that communication is a wonderful thing. The Bible is clear, but we get it confused when we look at it through man's eyes and not through the eyes of a loving, holy God. Number four, the voice of Jesus Christ is arresting to sinners. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts chapter 9. Arresting, meaning eye-catching, worth noticing. You're driving down the freeway at 70 miles an hour. Well, maybe 75. But as you're traveling down the road, there are billboards along the way. And the billboards are there with a desire to advertise something. And they want to catch your eye. Now, if you're like me, you don't like those ones that have the multiple messages. They're there for a couple of seconds and they go on to the next. And you didn't get the whole thing. And by the time you drive by, you never did get to see the one you really wanted. But they're trying to catch our attention. They're arresting, as it were, our attention. Again, in your mind's eye, see Saul, who later, of course, would be named Paul. And he's on the road to Damascus. and in his hand are letters to arrest any that were of the way, that of Jesus Christ. He thinks he's doing God's will, but in reality, he was fighting against the Lord. See, Jesus Christ came as the Messiah to die for mankind, and his followers were proclaiming the truth. And Paul, at that time still named Saul, was fighting against them. And it says in Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I believe that Paul, when he was being brought up and taught by Jewish leaders, had seen Jesus Christ. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if one of his rabbis didn't say to his class, come, I want you to hear somebody. And his class was taken, and they heard Jesus Christ. Because here at this point in time, when this light shines, I believe that Saul knew immediately who was speaking to him. It was the risen Lord. And they began this conversation. And it is this point that Saul accepts the Lord as a Savior. And so he was convicted. Many people, when they're convicted of sin, fight against the conviction. And some will fight against it for years, for decades, trying to justify their sin. All the while, they know it's wrong, but they continue to do it. And someday, when they stand before their Lord, they will be sorry. You know, the Bible is clear that there will be tears in heaven that our Lord will wipe away. And I think some of that will be because of our stubbornness. We think that we're going to miss out on something if we're not allowed to do certain activities. But the Lord desires us to follow him fully and properly. The voice of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is mighty. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 1? Revelation chapter 1. Again, in your mind's eye, see John, not John the Baptist, but the Apostle John. He's on the Isle of Patmos, having been sent there because of his testimony for Christ. And it was while he is there that he has the vision and the revelation of what we call the Book of Revelations. And he's there on the Lord's Day. And this is what we're going to read now, beginning at verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Right there, he tells us that he was on this island because of his testimony for the Lord. Down through the years, the centuries, the times that have come since Christ left, there have been those who have been martyred for the faith. They have been imprisoned, and John was one of those. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, notice a great voice, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Now listen, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And his voice as the sound of many waters. If you've been to Niagara Falls, you have seen water at its great strength as it roars over the side of the downfall there, the Canadian side and the American side, and it's amazing. If you've ever gone to the American side and gone down onto what they call the hurricane deck, and you're there and the spray is unbelievable and the noise is enormous as the water is pounding down from the American side and the Canadian side, and it's something. And yet the voice of the Lord is considered to be like the sound of many waters. Powerful. Majestic. And it needs to be listened to. I hope you're willing to listen to the voice of the Lord. Which brings us to point number six. The voice of Jesus Christ is asking entrance at the heart's door. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. There are, as you know, in chapters 2 and 3, the seven letters to the seven churches that we just mentioned. From Ephesus to Laodicea. They were seven churches of that time. I believe they represent seven churches of our time. Churches that are on fire for the Lord, and then churches that are lukewarm. Churches that have left their first love. Churches that have a name for being alive and yet are dead. Churches that have compromised. And they are churches that are represented today. Some believe they represent seven church periods, believing that we are in the church of the Laodicea time or the last time. But as the seven churches are addressed, we now come to verse 20. And you've read it if you've been in church in any length of time. And it says in verse 20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Not too long ago, I was going from my house into the garage, and the door handle came right off in my hand. That was frustrating to have a broken door handle, because now you have to get a door handle and you have to get the lock to match all the other locks, because you don't want to have two different keys to your house. And a door is very important. We see here Jesus is standing at heart's door, knocking, asking admittance. Now some would say, well, he's standing at the door of the church and asking admittance into the church, because some churches, believe it or not, Christ is not a welcome guest. His teaching and preaching is not what they want to hear. He was not politically correct. He called sin, sin. And we need to realize that sin is sin, and it doesn't need to be in the church. The church is never asked to be like the world to win the world. The church is always asked to be separate and to be an example of how we should live. But here we find, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," as I said, we live in a noisy world. It often drowns out all that is really necessary. But he stands at the door and knocks. "And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." If anyone hears, are we listening? Are we willing to listen to what the Lord has to say? In this world that is throwing so many things at us, trying to please us with things, with money, even with our jobs, with power, positions, are we listening to what the Lord has to say? In Elijah's day, he came in a still, small voice. Well, if he comes in a still, small voice, it doesn't take a whole lot to override what he is saying. Now, can I admit something to you? My wife and I tease each other about hearing loss. And we both are to the point now where we say, "Speak up, quit muttering." And other things drown out, if they're background noise, the voice of me or of my wife. Well, background noise can drown out the Lord. And may I say, that's sad. That's sad. In conclusion, the voice of Jesus Christ. Have you heard the voice of the bridegroom? The Savior, the prophet, the priest, the coming King? Have you? And if so, are you following him? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? If you were to die tonight, you know, this morning I mentioned that Bob Stafford had passed away. We don't have, or let me rephrase that, we do not have a guarantee of tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to be alive on Monday. And so if you were to die this evening, where would you spend eternity? And if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, will you hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Are we following him? The book of Amos asks, if can two walk together except they be agreed? Are you in agreement with the Lord? Are you close? Are you that one that's always on the fringe? Way out, oh, you're following him, but you're not up close. Maybe this evening you need to get some things right with your Lord. Maybe this evening you need to come and repent. Now, obviously, we are not going to have an invitation this way. But may I say this, if there is something in your life that is troubling you, maybe it would do you well to go into a room where you can be by yourself and pray to the Lord and ask him to show you the way. And if you need some help, if you have some questions, feel free to call us. We'd be glad to answer anything that we can. 586-731-3311 is our church phone. Or you can call me at 586-718-4246. And it's good to know that the Lord is willing to listen. You're never put on hold. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. And Lord, we're thankful for John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son." That love, Lord, we'll never understand until we stand before you. Lord, we thank you for that love, that mercy, that grace. Have your hand upon those, Lord, that watch this evening. And we ask this in Jesus' name. and with thanksgiving. Amen.